Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren Bresnitz is still out in Vietnam eating his face off. If you want to see his photos, you can go to his Twitter handle, and he's actually been doing a really good job. That was just Picture Plane opening up the show. Quick question, whose hands are that on the album art cover?
It's actually me, my hand, and a friend of mine whose name is the original Goth Jock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I call him.
Oh, okay. What does a Goth Jock look like?
He invented this style that's called the Goth Jock style, in my opinion. I don't know. It's a mixture of athletic wear with a deep goth sensibility.
Okay. I will have to look.
You can't look him up. I mean, there's no Googling the original Goth Jock, really. He's just an enigma. You got to find him out in the streets somewhere.
What streets does he live on?
He lives in Baltimore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Shout out to that guy, though.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
He's a legend. He really is.
So we're going to be hearing more from Picture Plane later on the show. He's going to be playing some tunes for us and talking about new projects, food, and upcoming South by Southwest. But at first, we have Catherine Greeley from the Heritage. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You look nervous. Don't be nervous.
Not nervous. At all.
Who is the director of mail order at Heritage Foods USA? Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
How did you get involved with Heritage?
Well, I was always really interested in sustainable agriculture and sort of locally sourced and foods and food sourced from family farms. And when I moved here to New York, it just happened to be an opportunity with Heritage. And I took it and I started sort of assisting in the mail order department. And just the beginning of this year, sort of took over as director.
What is like the day-to-day entail for a Heritage?
It's a really interesting office we have over there, just around the corner. We manage the website and sort of do all the marketing for the online sales. We also fulfill all the orders for our customers right around the corner. So we have a warehouse. We sort of personally manage all of the orders, and then we deal with all the farmers directly and sort of speak with them on a day-to-day basis and organize all of the projects throughout the year. We sell lamb in the spring and goat and turkeys.
Do you ever get any odd requests from people or just totally out there, suggestions on how their food needs to be packed or shipped or pairings of, what they want sent to them?
Absolutely, yes. We actually got a call the other day. Somebody was looking for horse meat, but more based on sort of what we do sell, we sell in larger quantities a little bit. So sometimes people will want, just a few slabs of bacon per package or...
A few slabs of horse meat.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think. Today, somebody wanted like a whole, a whole pig.
Just like put some cellophane around it.
Exactly.
Like wrap it up, send it over.
Yes. So it's pretty interesting. We have a lot of really awesome customers, though, that love our products. They're very, sort of interested in trying new things.
What do you normally try to push on them for new things? Like, it's like for music, it's like, if you like this and this, you should listen to this band. Like, if you like to eat this and this, you should try this. Is it cuts? Is it animals? Is it...
It's a little of both. We just got in some guinea hens, and so we sort of... The people that like to buy our chickens and our turkeys, we sort of recommended to them. They try the guinea hens. We also, we're getting bison in, because people are sort of interested in that. But then it also can definitely be cuts. We try to do our pork cuts in different ways.
Like what?
We'll try to do, you can do a regular Boston butt that you like will cook low and slow into pulled pork. But we might try to cut it into, like the collar. And then, of course, there's the picnic that you can get out of it. They're like smaller pieces within the Boston butt.
So you can like order like a picnic... arrangement?
Picnic shoulder, yeah.
A picnic shoulder?
Yes.
What comes in the picnic shoulder?
Well, no, it's a cut of pork.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So,
say that the picnic cut is?
It is. It's like a same word as if you're going out for a picnic.
No, yeah.
It's basically the lower part of the shoulder of a pork.
Okay. How do you cook that?
You cook it low and slow. You braise it, or you can you know, simmer it, cook it, it'll start to fall apart, and it's great for pulled pork or in a stew or
if I wanted to order like a bunch of different ribs from a bunch of different animals, could I do that? Like,
you definitely can. That is the really cool thing about us, is we do all these different breeds, and our slaughterhouse actually keeps the breeds of pork separate when they're, you know, when they're processing them. So you can get you know, a Duroc pork ribs, and you can get Berkshire or Red Wattle, and each one of them has like a slightly different flavor, different fat content. And
so you can specifically order the exact type of pig that you want.
Absolutely. From the farmer that you want, even.
Really?
Yeah.
And all that is laid out and managed through you and the communication. Now, do you work with the farmers to be like, hey, we're seeing an increase in orders for this, and then they'll try and grow to match it? Or is that timeline too long to be able to accommodate like popular cuts?
Yeah, we definitely try to do that when it's available, and a lot of that is working with our wholesale department as well to see sort of when we can get more of it and when they sort of, when the restaurants are asking for those cuts. But we definitely also talk to the farmers on a weekly basis and see what they're bringing in, and you know, what's sort of interesting, if they have a new breed or something going on.
How do you start working with the farmers?
A lot of them have been relationships that we've had almost since the beginning, our pork farmers in particular. But we definitely, we get, farmers will call in, you know, every so often, and we'll learn about them and work with them whenever we have the opportunity. We're actually, we have a beef road trip project that we're doing right now, where we try to offer cuts of beef from different farms in different parts of the country. About every 3 months, we try to switch it up so that people can, get a little bit of a different taste.
Do farmers have to, like, how do farmers get involved? Like, once they hear of you, like, do they have to apply? Do they need to send you cuts? Do they need to come up and make you a steak? How does that work?
Yeah, we have sort of a form, a general form that we have them fill out just to learn a little bit about their operation. And then we do try to get some samples, you know, just to see what the flavor is like, make sure it's something that our customers would enjoy. But it's definitely, you know, one of those opportunities where we it's great for us to bring in new things, and then also, you know, we try to make it a great opportunity for the farmer as well.
Before we take a quick musical break, has there been anything that you have been surprised that has outsold or outperformed that you would have been like, no one's going to buy this?
Yeah, well, the beginning of this year, we had a lot of, you know, people calling in for like pig liver and...
Pig liver?
Pig liver, okay. Yeah. And then back fat and leaf lard are sometimes can be common, but we had like a huge
beef
influx.
Lard?
Yes, they're both part different fat from different parts of the pig.
But going back to pig liver, what do you know what they were being used for? I don't know if I've ever had like a pig liver terrine or anything like that.
It is sort of, it is used for terrines, and sometimes they'll cut it up. I don't know the name of any of these specific dishes, but I know that people do use them. Ear and pork cheek also.
I mean, jowls, yeah. Ears, I always think of pork ears like just for like dog treats.
Yeah, you can get those dried pork ears in the store, grocery store.
Petco.
For your dogs.
Yeah, well, really just get you. But I'm sure people in New York will go crazy and be like, I need to get the finest pork ear for my
human dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
No, people cook them for guests. I'm not sure about what they do with the ears, but we send them in a 5-pound package, and some people are like, I can't cook all of this at once.
How many pig ears are 5 pounds?
that has been a question that's come up. I think it's at least like 20.
That's so many pig ears.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. Anyway, well, we're gonna take a quick break, and a big shout out to Lucy, who is listening all the way from Africa. This is Snacky Tunes.
A one.
This highway keeps going on and on. And time keeps moving right along. I pray for good weather and for a peaceful ride. And this highway keeps going on and on. I spent 30 or more years on this road. I have many, many stories still untold. A man can never know when it's his time to go. And this highway keeps going on and on. Winds blowing soft and cool across my face, and my mind wanders back to that old place. Nothing ever lasts, it's just a moment in the past. And this highway keeps going on and on. Sometimes I stop and wonder just where I'm headed to. And this highway keeps going on and on. And this highway keeps going on and on.
We are back with Catherine from Heritage Foods USA talking about mail ordering, pig ears, and all other types of different breeds. I know one of the things that you do is that with each season you promote a different type of animal that's only available for a certain season, which is really cool. What's coming up for spring?
Sure, yeah. Right now we have lamb, half lambs available. And we're coming up, we have a bison project and eighth cattle shares, which I think are pretty cool.
What's an eighth cattle share?
So we literally bring in whole cattle and cut them into, break them down and then package them into eight different packages. And everybody, each customer gets about 50 to 60 pounds of beef, depending on, like, you know, the size of the original steer.
How do they divvy it up? Like, how do they break up the jigsaw?
Yeah. So we try to give everybody a little bit of each thing. So a few steaks, and, you know, then everybody gets some chuck. I think it's about a quarter of a brisket you get. And really, you get a piece of sort of every part of the animal, and then you get some ground meat as well.
And who are your partners for the Eighth Cattle Project?
We have two of our farmers who they actually bring in pigs all throughout the year for us, and then they raise these cattle for us, and we have Angus and Highland cattle coming in this year, which is pretty neat. Sort of the American Angus beef, and then the Highland is a very historic English breed.
And do you get a little bit of Angus, a little bit of Highland, or do you have to choose?
No, you choose one or the other. We have they actually are coming in different parts of the year. So we're getting Angus in May, and then the Highland, I think, come in closer to July 4th.
Okay. What would you choose? What would you recommend?
Well, the Angus is a bigger package. The cattle itself is bigger. So those are really nice, really sort of a robust flavor. And the Highland is a little bit different, a little smaller, but really interesting as well. We have a lot of people that, you know, we sell ground Highland beef most of the year, and we have a lot of people that really, really love that and get it all the time.
And then for the spring lambs, like, people just come and do they just, like, I'm guessing for Easter, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But are you shipping and packaging, like, half lamb, just, like, How big are these boxes, and like, who is it? Home delivery as well?
It is, yeah. And we actually ship most of the half lamb ship right from the farmer, which I think is really cool. We cut out all the distribution, and they're about, once they're cut up and everything, they're about I'd say 12 to 15 pounds. It depends a little bit on which breed you're looking at, but we have four different farms and four different breeds this year, and they literally, I mean, they fit in really just even a third to a half of your freezer. All the pieces are pretty small. Really, the leg is the biggest piece you're going to get, which might be about 5 pounds.
It's pretty good. But so I guess that was my other question, is that how much packaging and shipping do you do from Heritage versus like just kind of acting as the in-between so the farmer can just ship directly to the restaurant or the business or the home?
Sure, yeah. We do most of the shipping for mail order. Our slaughterhouse ships out a lot of the wholesale orders, and then some of our mail order as well, they're able to do. But for the farms to ship it out, you know, it's a little bit more of a, they need to get some things set up in order to be able to do that. So we, for things like this, special seasonal projects, they definitely are used to sort of shipping these packages out, but around the whole year it can become a bit of a sort of a burden for them with everything else they have going on. Right. So
And then as far as marketing goes, how do you go for a consumer side, how do you grow this business? Like, what type of ways you go about attracting? Are there blogs you can post on, you know?
Yeah.
Websites, email blasts, radio shows?
Mm-hmm. we've been working on that. There are definitely some interesting blogs out there who have and some of them have shown some great interest in us.
Like who?
I'm going to get some slack for this. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they're, we've been linking to them on our Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
You can definitely check it out.
That's fine. people are listening to this online anyway, so they can just do a quick
I hope so.
New tap.
And, you know, we try to work with some online sites who have some really interesting sort of foodie projects going on. We've been on Food 52 once or twice. And, you know, and then we try to sort of just reach out to other partners that might be, you know, a good source of marketing for us.
Okay. So if I wanted to sign up and order some ribs of all types of different pork, pig, and otherwise, where could I go and how do I find it?
Yeah, you just go to www.heritagefoodsusa.com, and there we have a nice big purchase tab. You can read about our farmers, you can learn about the breeds, and then you definitely can see a list of all different the types of products that we have available.
Great. Well, Catherine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
me. I'm going to turn you back to your mail order. I know that you have a busy day. Coming up next, we have Picture Plane. Going to play some jams.
Just hang out and chill.
Hang out and chill.
Eat pizza and play some music.
Yeah, sounds good.
I know the time ain't right. I just want to believe you're worth the fight. But I got to take my time. Before I walk in blind, 'cause everybody's telling me to watch out. Even I could see there would be fallout, 'cause it fell in my mind up and down. If you want out, then say something. No, don't you leave me in the dark now. Just say something. Keep waiting and I'm gone. Caught in the wind, and now I'm second guessing everything. Just come in and shake up my life, but baby, I'm the one who's rolling the dice. 'Cause everybody's telling me to watch out. You know, even I could see there would be falling. 'Cause you're filling my mind up with doubt. So if you want. Don't you?
breaking me down. You're breaking me down. You're breaking me down. 'Cause everybody's telling me to watch out. Even I could see there would be falling. 'Cause you're filling my mind up with doubt. So if you want out, just say something. No, don't you leave me in the dark now. Just say something. Keep waiting and I'm gonna break down. Just say something. No, don't you leave me in the dark now. Can't you say something, babe? Keep waiting and I'm gonna break down. Oh boy, you know I'm gonna. All I need from you is just a small sign. Uh-huh. Just say something.
Well, Picture Plane, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I guess I already welcomed you, but this is the official.
I'm eating some snacks.
Yeah, eating some snacks. So I guess we can start anywhere, but I want to start with you leaving Denver and coming to New York and talk about what led you to make that decision, because, you know, essentially you can be a global musician these days and live anywhere and travel anywhere. But what kind of prompted you to leave Denver and come out here?
It was really just personal, I think. I mean, it did have a lot to do with my career as a performing artist, I guess. But at the same time, it was just, I had been living in Denver for quite a long time, about 8 years. There's a lot of changes going on within the DIY scene there. I really just wanted something new, kind of. I had sort of exhausted the city in a way. I had really done everything that I could do there.
What is, like, the pinnacle in Denver? Like you did that and you're like, "That's, I got nothing left in this town."
I don't know if it was just any, like, one thing, I guess. It was just sort of being around, working really hard. It, you know, that city is small, like any small American city. It's like you can work really hard, you know, within a community of people, basically, but you only get noticed so much. It's like there's, the city has a very small infrastructure for, like, more radical arts and culture, kind of. It's like, oh, you can get recognized by the, you know, Museum of Contemporary Art or something, and then, you know, that's about it. You know, there's
what was
you hit a lot of walls, basically. There's a lot of glass ceilings you hit.
Right. What was it that you felt like really actually did pull you out of there, that you're like, maybe I can actually leave Denver, like the first time you got recognized outside of the city?
I had been coming to New York a lot, playing shows here. My record label, Love Pump, was based out of here.
What up, Jake?
Yeah, I had a lot of friends and bands here, and I was getting really involved with the DIY scene in New York here. And it sort of just started hitting me, like, why am I not living here, you know?
Right.
Like, it became really attractive after a while to just sort of do the life change, kind of.
Yeah.
I love Denver, though. Everything about Denver was amazing, but it was just...
Do you go back?
I've only been back once since I moved in 8 months. I need to go back, but, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love New York. I'm just curious. I went to school in a small town and just, like, packed up and left there. But you can only do so much with what you have around you before. And when what has changed for you now you've been here, like, just by being here day in, day out and knowing that your default is here?
New York is so exciting. I think, you know, even Bushwick, where we're sitting right now, there's just a really cool scene going on. To me, you know, people are talking about it like it, New York is in some sort of new renaissance, kind of. Everyone's really willing to collaborate, work together. It's not really super competitive. It's really supportive. You can do anything you want to do, you know, and it's, people treat it with respect. You know, it could be the most insane, ridiculous noise band, whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, this isn't really neat, you know, it.
People, and there's a place where you can get, like, 50 people to come watch it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thriving avant-garde within New York. which I guess always has been here. It's why people come here, but it seems to be like it's on fire again right now. It's cool.
Are there any bands that you are working with or just been out seeing that you think are exciting or defining that?
Yeah, there's this rap group, Rat King, who I think are really exciting right now. They're working on an album that I think is going to be total classic, kind of. My friend DJ Dogdick, Teen Girl Fantasy are here. Outre Nouveau lives here. I don't know. The list goes on. Yeah. A lot of great venues and galleries, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, do you feel like it's just out here in Bushwick, or do you feel it's still happening like Williamsburg or the city, or is it just kind of out here because it's, you know, the cheaper and everyone just kind of seemed to navigate?
It's definitely been pushed out to Bushwick a bit, I think. Williamsburg is it's a nice place to be. Go get some nice snacks out there if you want to talk about snacks. Williamsburg has some snacks.
What are your spots?
Oh, man.
Where is that?
What are some good spots?
Yeah,
La Superior. These tacos just kill it out there. It's unbelievable.
I love them. I actually, my only issue with...
I love tacos, and they are top-notch tacos, yeah.
My only issue with them is that when they first opened, they were, you know, they serve authentic interior Mexican food, and they also served it the way that it would be served. So, like, if it didn't, traditionally wasn't served with silverware, you couldn't get silverware with it. And I just always thought that was,
very
like...
Very authentic.
Like, really, like, we would have to order something that had silverware to get silverware, which led to a number of fights and like totally like insane. And only in the way that like New York, Williamsburg can like be that insane.
I demand a fork.
It's like they're a Portland where you're just like, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, the traditional walk-in indigenous culture did not serve it. It didn't even have utensils. So
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if they still do that anymore.
I'm into that.
You're into that?
Yeah. Like, you don't need a fork for a taco.
No, not their tacos, but like some of their other dishes, like their quesadillas and everything.
Sure.
Anywhere else besides La Superior?
Pies and Thighs. I love that place.
There's a new chicken and waffles place that just opened up on like North 8th and Bedford.
Yes. Vinny's Pizza on North 9th and Bedford. This amazing pizza.
You're not vegan, are you?
No.
Okay. Because their vegan pizza game is also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
They're... Buffalo.
So funny. Food talk. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, we always get to be like, as an artist.
Oyster place, La Pache en Rouge. Or no.
Maison Premier.
Yeah.
All those places. You know the summer secret of like the happy hour. Well, every day it's like the 4 to 7 happy hour dollar oysters. And like not that bullshit dollar oyster where you go to a bar, but like everything on their menu, dollar oyster.
I love oysters. Oysters and tacos, I could live on those. But not an oyster taco. You don't want to combine the two.
Really? Like a fried oyster taco?
Maybe that exists somewhere, but...
I guarantee... I'm sure. I think Heritage was selling them like for order a couple weeks ago. Why don't we hear a song?
Get a veal stomach and an oyster taco.
Yeah, it's like the tortilla is a veal stomach. With a deep-fried oyster on top of it. No?
That's next level.
I try once.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And you're heading down to South by, right?
I am.
But you're also playing the Normal Festival before.
Yes, in Monterrey, Mexico, before South by Southwest is the Normal Fest. This is in its third year, and I think it's quickly becoming sort of every working musician's favorite festival, it seems like.
Why is that?
It's just sort of a festival done for all the right reasons, which is just for the love and passion of music and culture. There's no corporate bullshit goes along with any of it. It's just and it's this really cool meeting of minds between local Mexican artists and Americans, and I think there's a lot of it's huge to me. It's like a radical statement. I think there's a lot of misconceptions and preconceived notions about what Mexico is and what the Mexican people are all about, and it's really cool to get the youth to go down there and to sort of interact with real Mexican culture, you know, see what the Mexican kids are doing and what they're listening to and shit.
I mean, do you really feel like it's a 50-50 cultural exchange? Like, you can go to, like, Primavera or some other festival in another country, and it's like you're going to another country and, like, you're immersed in that culture. Do you feel this one is more like really Mexicans meeting Americans and vice versa?
Yes, definitely. You know, it's mostly Mexicans who go to the festival and then some American bands, really. It's not many American fans who are going down there. It's mostly just people who are performing coming from America to go there. I've never been to Primavera or things like that, but I mean, a lot of the bigger festivals, you know, it's sort of just like you're in your hotel with your American friends and stuff. And yeah, you don't get a lot of authentic experience of any sort of local culture at all.
Right. You just kind of go there, get your like tram to the stage.
Yeah.
Play your
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
Maybe
this
you
is
might
not
get
like
some.
That. It's a lot more of a DIY experience. And that's all due to Todd P, who is the festival organizer. And, you know, he's really adamant about, you know,
I mean, Todd P is just a legend in his own right.
He is. Yeah, he really is.
I mean, I can't even think about probably the tens of thousands of bands that he has booked in his time in doing shows.
And he's always had his ear to the ground, and he supports art, you know, in the best way, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So you're just playing there as Picture Plane, no other side project?
I'm going down there performing as Dick Pick, which is my new project with DJ Dog Dick. It's our sort of weird synth noise band techno project.
Is it PIC?
Yeah, like a dick pic on your phone.
Yeah, like from the Picture Plane and from the...
Yeah,
really just
Dog Dick, Picture Plane, the only name that we
could
have
thought
was...
How long did that name take to come up with?
We were thinking about it, and that one came up right away, but we were like, should we call it that? And then it was just like, of course, we have to call it that.
But in naming, like, do you think that there is, and especially in modern day, like, before, like, there were bands, like, when we did our show, Dinner with the Band, years ago, Fucked Up played, and the network's like, you can book them, but we're never going to air this episode because it's got the word, you know, it's got fucked in it. But now it's like, does it really matter? Or do you think it...
Everyone loves dick pics. I feel like, you know, people are lying if they...
Who loves dick pics?
Everyone does, I think. So, you know,
I've got some, like, ex-girlfriends that could probably say otherwise that they...
I hate dick pics.
Well, maybe just they hate my dick pic.
Well, so yeah, I don't think the name is offensive at all. I mean, if you're offended by dicks, you're just an annoying person, basically.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean...
People got dicks. That's what
yeah.
we'd have.
And people send pictures of them.
Yes.
It's just a modern... It's a very, it's like, modern... It's a modern name.
Exactly.
Let's hear another song.
Okay, cool.
T-minus 10, 9, Klaus 8, 7, Klaus. 6, Klaus. 5, Klaus. 4, Klaus. 3, 2, Klaus. 1... Thank you. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition.
Was close.
Lift off.
Lift off.
What do you feel about Black Flag getting back together this summer? They're playing in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
All original members.
Which singer?
I'm thinking Rollins.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's great.
Yeah. 26 years? Something like that?
You know, it's interesting when things like that happen. I mean, because you have to... It's obviously about the money, kind of. That's a big part of it, you know? Just like... Damn, we're like 50-something years old. Like, I don't have much money. Like, let's get the band back together and charge a bunch of money.
I can't imagine Rollins needs money. Like, he's been pretty prolific. Like,
sure, sure.
He's had, like, you know, all the solo projects. He's done a TV show. He's written speaking tours. Like, maybe the other...
Yeah, I'm not saying he's broke or something. I'm saying that it's an appealing... It has to be appealing, you know, if...
Yeah. Right. Or maybe it's the like, way has been cleared so much by other bands that it's, like, not looked down upon as maybe it was once
We
before.
Live in a strange sort of real nostalgic culture now that instead of looking forward to the future, everyone wants to just remember these things that have already happened, basically.
Right.
And live in some sort of yesteryear type state of
right.
mind all the time.
Like how New York used to be. It's like reading Please Kill Me and just trying to, like, hope you can recreate it.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you are working on some new music, right?
Yeah, every day working on a new album. I'm having a new single come out, basically. It's called Chaos Radical. And I'm hopefully starting to be working on a music video soon for it. It's sort of like a cinematic presentation of this song, where the first time people will hear the song will be this video. That I want to be sort of like a mini movie kind of thing.
Who's directing it?
I'm going to be directing it along with my friend Lil Internet.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
he's I've known him for from Boston days
oh,
for a long
cool.
time ago.
Very cool.
Yeah, I slept in his roommate's bed a number of times.
Cool.
He's kind of unreal as well.
He's a very unique artist, and those are the kind of people I like to surround myself with. You know, people who are one of a kind, and Lil Internet's definitely one of a kind.
I can easily say that I've never met and will never meet anyone, like, no matter how far I travel.
Yeah, no, he's a true original.
Yeah, and he dresses so well too.
I know.
I saw him out last week, and I was just like, "Holy fuck!" You like it was like six
yeah,
totally
he has swag
unique...
for days.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of what comes with the whole mentality, but he definitely like talks shit and then backs it up.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get time for one more song.
Cool.
But before you do that, why don't you tell people where they can find you, follow you, get your music?
Yeah, my name is Picture Plane. Get at my Twitter. That's where all the excitement goes down, just at Picture Plane. I'm playing a show in a few days on the 6th. I don't know what day that is. Thursday? Friday?
Wednesday.
Jesus. The 6th at 285 Kent in Williamsburg. It's with Andrew W.K., Dom, and Cities Aviv, and Dick Pick is playing after Andrew W.K. We're going to do a late night rave set.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.